On episode 433 of the 40 Plus Fitness Podcast, we bring back Dr. Anna Kabeca and discuss her book, Keto Green 16. You can find the full show notes for this episode at 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/433.
Have you decided you're ready to make a change? To reclaim your health and fitness? The 40 Plus Fitness Podcast is here for you. I'm your host, Alan Meisner. I'm an NSAM certified personal trainer with a specialization in corrective exercise and fitness nutrition. Let me be your coach as you find your way on your health and fitness journey. All right, let's go.
Hello, and thank you for being a part of 40 Plus Fitness. I'm really glad to have you here today. We're going to have a great interview, but before I get into that, I wanted to take a moment to invite you to our Facebook group. Yeah, 40 Plus Fitness has a Facebook group where we have weekly challenges and all kinds of fun posts. People are there conversing. If you have a question, I'm glad to answer it there. It's a really cool environment. I'd love to have you join us there. Go to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/group. Our guest today is a triple board certified and a fellow of OBGYN, integrative medicine, and anti-aging and regenerative medicine. She has special certifications in functional medicine, sexual health, and bioidentical hormone replacement therapy. She is the author of the USA Today bestseller, The Hormone Fix. Today, we're going to talk about her book, Keto Green 16. With no further ado, here's Dr. Anna Kabeca. Dr. Kabeca, welcome to 40 Plus Fitness again.
Great to be here with you, Alan.
I'm pretty excited to have you here because, you know, when keto first came out, people started calling it the bacon diet. And of course, all the people that were on keto were like, yeah, you get to eat bacon. Isn't that great? But it's not a bacon diet. And your book, Keto Green 16, I think really is a good guideline for how you can eat keto and eat healthy at the same time.
Yes. And the intention was that through my experience going keto and then really struggling, going keto crazy, as I like to say, was finding a really healthy way to do it, because really getting keto in the healthiest way possible after, during perimenopause and well beyond is essential for women.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the things that is kind of a differentiator out there is whenever something like this comes up, be it paleo or keto or even vegan, we like to batch everybody together and say, this is the diet. This is how you need to eat. And keto was very much that way too. It said, okay, you eat this amount of fat, you eat this amount of carbs, you eat this amount of protein, go. And it really didn't give anybody any guidelines on how to get proper nutrition.
Right, exactly. And one of the things I've done is create a keto calculator, especially again for women. Women have to do keto differently than men, Alan. And it's important to understand that because men have 10 times as much testosterone as women. But looking at our healthy fats and the kind of fats we eat, but always balancing it with high quality protein and lots of fiber from low carbohydrate greens, that's a shift. There's so many physiologic and chemical reasons for the shift. But for me, it was game changing. And this was, gosh, way back when I was 48 and I was hitting what I like to call my second menopause, because I was diagnosed with menopause at age 39. Like, and I said, I've not had an easy medical personal life, but at age 39, diagnosed with early menopause and then reversed it to go on and have a baby at age 41. And then at 48, experiencing these really harsh symptoms of weight gain, despite not doing anything different. Man, it is a complaint that patients would come in and tell me about. And until I experienced it themselves, humbly, I admit this to you, Alan, is that, you know, I was like, really? Sure. How could that be possible? Right. But that happened to me.
Right. And I think that's one of the kind of the misnomers out there, or I guess myths out there is that, if you're gaining weight, you must obviously be eating more. But the reality is that's not necessarily true. In many cases, it just means that some of our key hormones are out of balance and we're not managing those well. The keto green diet that you have, it can really help us manage these hormones. In the book, you identify kind of 13 key weight loss hormones. And I would love to go back through those because I think most of them I've talked about at one point or another on the podcast, but it'd be really nice to just kind of have them like wrapped in a bow right here. Could you take just a few minutes to go over what I'd call the weight loss hormones?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think like, you know, we'd just go over these hormones work intricately, individually, and so they're so interconnected. They are so interconnected. And we start with cortisol. And so really call it the weight gain hormone versus the weight loss hormone. But it is when we get cortisol in balance, that can really help trim us down. But cortisol being that's the hormone of precedence right now during our stressful times and our stressful situation that we're in right now. And this is the stress hormone that increases glucose in our body because we need more fuel when we're stressed to survive, thrive, run, move. And also it is, you know, whether it's a physical stress or mental stress or perceived stress, that increases cortisol. And that will also cause weight gain. Cortisol will affect our thyroid and will affect decrease our progesterone, our neuroprotective hormone. So we can have more emotional swings during this time, more moodiness. And it can also, when cortisol goes up, oxytocin goes down. And that's one of the other hormones. Now, oxytocin is one of my favorite hormones.
Well, it should be. That's what makes us feel good.
It is the love connection hormone, bonding hormone. It's the hormone we experience in abundance with orgasm, with pleasure, with laughter, with play. And it is a powerful alkalinizing, anti-inflammatory, and regenerative hormone. We've looked at studies in older population looking at oxytocin on muscle cell growth, and increased oxytocin increases muscle cell regeneration, which we need, especially as we're getting older. So that hormone, oxytocin, it's really important to understand. And in my first book, The Hormone Fix, I spend a lot of time discussing the interrelationship between cortisol and oxytocin. And it's worth mentioning now, Alan, because in this stress time, we're increasing cortisol, which also breaks down willpower. So if we're experiencing cravings, or I've had some clients who have relapsed and we have this discussion, we're like, look, this is a function of the physiology of what you're experiencing. So let's, you know, right back on, let's create the practices and principles that are going to keep us healthy, sane, and on course during this time. So it's really a big deal. And when cortisol goes up, oxytocin goes down. It's kind of like the seesaw. Cortisol goes up, oxytocin goes down. And so we feel more disconnected, less enthusiasm. And, you know, we're really struggling. Already our healthcare providers are really struggling with burnout. And so add on the added stressors, we're experiencing that even more. But when cortisol is up for a longer time period, and this is really important, is that when cortisol is up for a long time period, an area in our brain is basically saying, okay, shut down, you're frying me out. So cortisol goes low and oxytocin goes low at the same time. And we get in this dangerous disconnect, this dangerous cortisol's low and oxytocin's low. Burnout, it's the physiology of divorce. It's the physiology of burnout. It's the physiology of trauma and PTSD for a long period of time. And, you know, and so it's often what I see very much in my clients who've experienced trauma or PTSD. I see this physiologic condition. And oxytocin, though, as far as when it comes tying it back into weight loss hormone, we know when we fall in love, like we're not hungry, we lose weight, we feel better. That's oxytocin, and we want to keep that stronger. And so the next hormone that I talk about in my book is insulin. The more insulin sensitive we become, the more resilient we become. And this is needed now more than ever. Glucose can affect your immune system negatively, too much sugar in your system, but insulin, as we become more insulin resistant, that also negatively affects our immune system. But the more insulin sensitive we become through going keto, keto green, and intermittent fasting and extended fasting, that impact, that again increases insulin resistance. What I've seen in my clients in the following my new book, the Keto Green 16 Plan, I've seen in just as little as 1 month, a 50-year-old woman's hemoglobin A1C go down from 60 to 5.4. 6.0 to 5.4 in just 1 month, which is huge. Because if we move a point, like a 0.1, if we move that, we're ecstatic. She went down 6 points in just 1 month. So
she's no longer diabetic.
She is no longer pre-diabetic. That's exactly right. Exactly right. In just 1 month. And so what a shift. And the lower our hemoglobin A1C, the less inflammation in our body. Our goal target number for hemoglobin C is 5.0. And again, a huge marker of insulin. So in Keto Green 16, we've really come a long way into creating this, you know, this increasing insulin sensitivity. And the more insulin sensitive we are, the less hungry we are too. The more willpower we have, the less inflammation we have.
And that's because our body's able to pull our own body fat to basically give us the energy to do the things we're doing. We don't necessarily need that sugar for fuel to do it.
Right, right.
Now, you also talk about the other sex hormones, estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. Can you talk a little bit about those?
Yeah, estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, and DHEA. These are really well known as our reproductive hormones, our sex steroids, such as estrogen and testosterone specifically. But these are all involved, and these are the hormones we think about predominantly when we're thinking about reproduction. And as a gynecologist and obstetrician, these are hormones that I spent, and their pathways, I spent years studying. But this is where I kind of, you know, when I think about it, when it goes back to it, you know, cortisol, insulin, and oxytocin are the major hormones. And these kind of fall in under those. And so with all of these hormones, estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, and DHEA, they all have a role in our metabolism. And are, you know, they help to build us up, especially testosterone and DHEA, our more androgenic hormones, and DHEA being a pro hormone that is needed to make testosterone and estrogen. So, and DHEA is a hormone that is depleted in times of stress in favor of producing cortisol. So when we need to make cortisol, we're going to make cortisol over DHEA.
Right, because we don't need to reproduce. If we're running for our lives, we're not thinking about offspring at that point in time.
Exactly. Our body is conserving our reproductive potential. It's conserving everything to go towards the production of cortisol. And cortisol also will cause the depletion of progesterone because cortisol is made, derived from progesterone. So as we make cortisol, this very important, progesterone is one of our mother hormones. Not as it only, it's in men and women, it comes from the words pro-life, essentially pro-gestation, pro-pregnancy, pro-life. And progesterone is a neuroprotective hormone in both men and women. There have been many studies with progesterone in traumatic brain injury. Initial studies were done at my alma mater at Emory University in the ICU and the intensive care unit at Emory is the neuro intensive care unit. And looked at giving IV progesterone in clients with traumatic brain injury. And what the preliminary research showed is that when given bioidentical progesterone, patients who had traumatic brain injury fared much better. It's really fascinating on this aspect. This is a little tangent, but you don't mind, Alan, do you?
No, not at all. Not at all. I'm okay. Always up to learn something new.
Well, it's so fascinating about this experience with progesterone is that when they noted that women who were premenstrual had a traumatic brain injury fared better than others who were not. So that's where the original very observant clinician made the observation, and that led to the study of progesterone as a resuscitative measure essentially in traumatic brain injury, both men and women. And from there, there's so much research on progesterone. We are in the infancy. I have no doubt that progesterone will be used and more highly recommended in the perimenopause, menopause time period, as well as a little bit for men as we get older for its neuroprotective ability. It also boosts our immune system, supports Th2 immunity. So I just thought that was a fascinating point about progesterone in the brain.
It is. It is.
And so that's pretty much that. And then when I talk about other hormones in the book, it's also the hormones of satiety and hunger. So leptin and ghrelin are two other hormones that I talk about. And we can become ghrelin resistant, leptin resistant. So just like with insulin resistant, like we never feel satisfied. There is that song. Have you seen the musical, Hamilton?
I'm sorry, I haven't. No.
So,
sorry, I'm not a big musical guy, but okay.
Oh my gosh, you gotta listen to this musical. The music is full, and actually the producer performed for the White House for Obama, in infancy. So it is it just fascinating. But anyway, there's a song that I will never be satisfied. that's leptin resistance. So that feeling of never actually like, okay, I've eaten. Why am I hungry again? I'm never feeling satisfied. And that's kind of where leptin resistance comes in too. And then ghrelin is our hunger hormone. When we start fasting, we can get really, really hungry. And we know we're not going to die, right? We know we're not going to die. We can go a long time without food. We can really go months without food, not without water, but we can go months without food. And ghrelin hormone, though, when you're fasting, peaks at day 2 of your fasting. So just like anything else, when we start doing more of the intermittent fasting and prolonged fasting, note that that is a like increasing ghrelin sensitivity, so to speak, is a muscle like anything else that we're going to exercise. We are going to work to build up to do longer and longer fast. But day 2, ghrelin, this hunger hormone, is peaking, making us think that we're going to die because we're so hungry. Just take some deep breaths, drink plenty of water, and that will go away by day 3. You're like, oh man, I can continue fasting for quite a while. So that's that ghrelin hunger hormone.
Okay. And then you also in the book, I think you talked about apodectin.
Adiponectin. Oh my gosh.
Okay. Sorry.
Yes. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. I left adiponectin out. I love adiponectin. This is really fascinating. I've really just begun to learn. I think there's so much to learn about adiponectin, but just like our sex hormones, adiponectin decreases as we age. There is an internal clock somewhere that manages adiponectin secretion, because I think this is the reason why we gain weight as we're getting older without doing anything different. I mean, there's a combination, but adiponectin tends to play right into this. This has to relate to our metabolism. And the higher adiponectin is, the higher our metabolism is. So intermittent fasting can, and getting keto green, getting into ketosis in a healthy way, can really help improve levels of adiponectin. So we're actually increasing our metabolism.
Now, one of the things about the Keto Green 16 is that it's an alkaline style of eating. Can you explain why that's important?
Yes. Well, it goes back to kind of my story. As I turned 48 and I was gaining weight without doing anything different, I knew, like, and I had been well over 240 pounds in the past. I've lost 80 pounds, kept it off for nearly that decade, and I just started gaining weight. And anyone who's lost a significant amount of weight and starts gaining weight, often you feel like, oh my gosh, when is this ever going to stop? Like, I'll be 300 pounds before this weight gain stops, because nothing I'm doing is causing it. I'm not, I'm not going through Starbucks. I'm not going through Dunkin' Donuts. I'm not doing anything different than what I've been doing. And it's very frustrating. It has to do a lot with these hormones. And also, again, the stress hormone, the stress hormones as well. But I went strict keto. I'm like, okay, I've used this for my patients with neurologic symptoms and basically a modified form for my patients on Candida protocols or who have had chronic yeast infections. And so I just really restrict carbs, increasing fats and protein. And within a few short days, I was feeling very, it's not keto flu. It was really, I call it keto crazy. I was irritable, agitated, on edge. And I was a single mom of teenagers. There's no way that I or my daughters could survive me going keto. And I was very interested. I'm a scientist. I was a scientist for the U.S. Navy before I went to medical school. I studied metabolism and I worked in research in metabolism. And I was like, well, what is going on here? Really, what is going on here? And so I started doing what I ask all my patients to do when I detox them. And as part of like a principle for like another vital sign is to check urine pH. And as I was checking my urine pH, I was as acidic as the pH paper would read. And this is something everyone listening really should do. It tells us so much about our body, how we're nourishing our body, and how we're controlling our stress. Because lo and behold, the more stressed we are, the more acidic our urine pH is. So it's not just about what we eat. But, you know, I did not study that. I observed it. So as I was, you know, as I recognized how acidic I was, I added in all these very low carbohydrate greens based on science for hormone balance. So the dark leafy greens, the chard, the collard, the kale, the beet greens, and then the cruciferous vegetables. This is part of my keto green 16, 16 key foods scientifically studied and shown to help with hormone balance. And so, you know, the cruciferous vegetables like broccoli and cabbage and cauliflower. Oh my gosh, cauliflower mash. So good.
Yes.
And so incorporated these in, but I also noted that on the mornings I walked on the beach or did my gratitude journaling and had my prayer time, my urine pH was more alkaline all day. So I recognized quickly, like, okay, well, what's the connection here? And that's where I found out that, you know, cortisol creates, by increasing hydrogen ion secretion across the renal tubules, it creates an acidic urine pH. So here we can use urine pH as a vital sign for how we're affecting ourselves, basically epigenetically even. So just that concept of how we are interacting with our environment, not just with what we eat, but with how we think about how we're living, how we're perceiving life, how we're appreciating each other, and how that affects our physiology. So the alkaline piece, I started shifting, getting more of the greens and becoming more alkaline, and then pushing into ketosis. And that was like a light bulb moment because I felt so clear that, you know, the keto crazy went completely away. I felt like what I call energized enlightenment. I felt a higher connection to God. I felt just this sense of peace and calm, and nothing in my external environment had changed. Still had teenagers, still was a single mom raising kids, solely supporting my family. But my peace, and biblically we talk about the peace that surpasses all understanding, the peace which surpasses all understanding. I had a glimpse of that for the first time. And the first time, I would say, in basically a decade since I lost my son, I experienced this peace, and profoundly so. I also got my memory back because from stress and, you know, acidity, I'd had brain fog and was like, you know, I felt like was this early signs of dementia. And so many of my patients would come in and say this to me, right? But like they were experiencing these symptoms. So that's, you know, this combination of getting an alkaline urine pH, getting more alkalinizers in your body, using it from the nutritional and lifestyle approach, and getting into ketosis. Oh my gosh, that combination. Energized enlightenment, clarity. I could never have written a book, let alone two. And, you know, I probably even run my business. I just want to say exponential from near broke to a very, very purposeful and profitable business.
Yeah. And I'll also attest, if you're, you know, writing a book is not an easy task in and of itself, but doing that while you're also running a business and doing the kids and everything else and trying to keep it all together, that is a huge, huge thing.
Oh, I second that too. And I know you're writing a book right now too. I mean, it is a challenge. Kudos to you, because for 10 years, for over a decade, I'd wanted to write a book. I never was able to get a page done. And this state of being and this clarity is just hugely transformative, which is what we need, and especially for women. That's my area. Women are my area of focus and my priority. Sorry, Alan, and all you men who are listening, but when women are better, you guys are better too. You know that.
True story. Now, and I think the other thing that I'd like to mention is the foods that you're talking about, the leafy greens and the cruciferous, and you also in the book you talk about some of the fermented foods as well. All of those are feeding your gut, which is a big, huge, I mean, it's a huge part of our immune system. So in addition to the clarity and the other things that are going well for you, being in this keto alkaline state, you're also making sure that you're giving your body what it needs to protect us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It comes down to the micronutrients over the macronutrients.
Now, this diet, I mean, I look at keto and I say, okay, you can't, I don't like to call keto a diet because in effect, it's more than that. If you want to stay this way, I mean, if you want some short-term results, yes, you can get it. But in the book, you talk about 16 days and I see that as a kind of a bite-sized start where we're going to really learn some things about our eating and our health and our body. Can you talk about why you said 16? What's the key there of 16 days?
A sweet 16. I love that number. 16
and you had
candles.
Boys, and you had boys.
All girls.
You have all girls. Okay. All girls. Okay. There you go. You're going to get
all girls. One son. Yeah.
Okay.
And so the 16 has a lot of, like, I was thinking about what number would really characterize this plan the best and how quickly can we get results, right? And also something that's different. So we don't have like patterns of your 14 day, your 21 day. So 16 is different, but also from a numerologic perspective, it's a time of new beginnings. Really, it's time of like claiming your own strengths. And, you know, for me, it just resonated in a really strong way that in 16 days, you know, what's the shortest amount of time? Because we always hear 21 days to change a habit, but I didn't buy that. So I went to the research and I also played around with all different types of programs and lengths of programs. And in 16 days, we can get really tremendous results. And so, so that's my 16.
Yeah. And I completely agree. If you get past 2 weeks eating keto and at that point you're keto somewhat fat adapted, your body's starting to use body fat for energy. You're giving your body the micronutrients it needs through the style of eating here. Basically, yes, you're going to start seeing the initial results for this. And most people that I've worked with that go into keto, and myself, when I go in and out of ketosis, when I go into ketosis, I'm almost guaranteed to lose 5 pounds the first week. And then by the 16th day, I've probably lost anywhere from 10 to 15 pounds if I'm really on it and doing what I'm supposed to be doing. So I agree with you. I think you can see some tremendous results in just the 16 days.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the book, you get into keto clean and keto dirty. Could you take just a moment to get into those two concepts?
Well, yes. So when we, as you started this podcast with, you know, the concept of when we think about keto dirty, eating bacon and butter and processed foods and processed cheeses, it, you know, certainly will get us into ketosis, but it's not providing our bodies the micronutrients that we need to thrive on. Yes, can we survive? Sure. But will we thrive? No. And so that's what I call keto dirty. So there's, again, so many ways to be keto, right? We'll go into ketosis by eating nothing, right? That's fasting. We'll go into ketosis by eating nothing. But with keto, I say keto green, keto dirty versus keto clean, which clean eating, healthy food, ideally free range, wild caught, fresh, organic, grown in your backyard. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm growing a garden, and is keto. So keto clean is keto green. And that's the concept of a really balanced, nourishing approach to keto.
Yeah. Now you define those, the way I saw you list them in the book, I think you called them the 16 sexy, slim, younger foods.
Yes.
could you take just a minute to kind of go through those really quickly?
Yes. Yeah. Happy to. So the 16 foods that really can help support our bodies. Definitely I'm a fan. It's an omnivore diet, but in Keto Green 16, I also have a 16-day vegan plan. So substituting out my first three foods, which are beef or bison, chicken, and fish, substituting that out for black beans, white beans, and chickpeas in my vegan plan, or tempeh or tofu can always be non-GMO can always be substituted. So beef or bison, chicken, fish are the key protein sources. And for healthy fat, we're looking at our oils. So as another ingredient, for example, our olive oils or nuts or seed oils are fine, but olive oil in particular has so many great oleic acid. It's good for our heart. It's good for our flexibility, our blood vessels. So I incorporate that in there, as well as healthy fats from avocados. Avocados get a special place in my heart. They're just amazing. They go from making a hearty sandwich to like a key lime pie dessert. I gotta share my key lime pie avocado recipe. It's really amazing. And so, you know, avocado put into your smoothie just makes it so creamy and delicious. It's seriously a superfood. So, and then nuts and seeds. So nuts specifically that I recommend are Brazil nuts because they're rich in selenium, or pili nuts, which are high in fat and fiber, but very lowest carbs. And it's just a really delicious nut. And so the certain nuts are available, but also then the cruciferous vegetables, and then the dark leafy greens. And they each get their own category because I really like the incorporation of a variety of foods. And then we have some citrus, lime or lemon, as another key ingredient. And then of course the alliums for sulfation, alliums such as onions and garlic. And the different groups to understand the reasoning for my composition of my recipes, as well as choosing these foods, I wanted to cover every pathway for our body to healthfully detoxify our hormones. And so again, whether we're getting hormones exogenously through like hormones we're taking, or xenoestrogens from even pesticides, herbicides, plastics, parabens in cosmetics and stuff, that we're detoxifying them as safely as possible and efficiently as possible. So the food groups I chose were to help with these detoxification pathways: methylation, sulfation, and glucuronidation. So that's the bulk of the 16 sexy, right, slim, and younger foods.
And you have recipes in the book. You have a full meal plan, so it's all out there laid out for us. And again, a vegan version as well. So it's not like you have to go through and decide that you're going to eat the beef and the chicken and the fish, if you prefer to approach this from a vegan perspective, which I think is relatively new concept when we start talking about keto, is that they don't seem like they get along, but you can in fact be keto and vegan.
Yeah, you can. And it's really good periodically to lay off the, you know, animal meats. I say at least once or twice a year. I mean, we can all do that, you know, and it just to give your body and a chance to rest and increase the fiber to help with colonic health. And that can make a big difference too, to do periodic fasting from meat in general.
Well, there you go with that. There you go with that F word again. And I just want to explain, you have another F word in the book. So you do talk about fasting, but you also talk about feasting.
Yes.
In a play this year, because we don't just fast or we don't just eat keto. You do have periods of time when you kind of, I guess, for lack of a better word, the way we would say it in the bodybuilding or the exercise field is that you basically carb load, or you actually do bring in more carbs for a period of time. Can you talk about that process?
Yeah, that's essential. It's essential. That's what bodybuilders know, right? The importance of carb loading, but also metabolic flexibility. And that's the reason we feast. Metabolic flexibility. Plus, I'm a natural glutton. I love my feasting. I love it.
Now, you are a big fan also of measuring. So measuring your glucose, mm-hmm. measuring your ketones, and as you mentioned earlier, your pH. Can you talk a little bit about that measurement and how we should go about that, particularly during these 16 days?
Yeah. You know, if anyone has access to get the Freestyle Libre prescribed by their physician, it should be over the counter, but it's not. It's a continuous monitor that goes in your arm. It's just like a patch basically that sticks on your arm. It has a small filament that goes into the tissue and stays there for 2 weeks, but that's a way to continuously monitor your blood sugar. I've worn that basically on and off for the past year, almost continuously, for measuring the food and the food choices and the menu combinations and my plan for Keto Green 16. And it's so fascinating to see how what increases your blood sugar and what doesn't. So in the keto world, you'll often hear, well, have a cup of coffee. Well, I had, you know, also in where, you know, I knew that coffee was impairing me from weight loss. It was creating a plateau and I struggled with it because every time I would take my coffee break, I would easily lose 3 to 4 pounds in a week. And I was like, how does that make sense? Coffee has no calories, but yes, in some of us, it increases, and most of us, it increases cortisol, which will then increase glucose. So that was by theory. But when I started wearing this patch, Alan, I saw my blood sugar in the morning just drinking a cup of coffee. And even if I was reading or whatever, but just drinking a cup of coffee, my blood sugar was going up 20 to 30 points easy in the morning.
Yeah, which is
fascinating.
Yeah, well, right. And it's taxing your insulin, because now your pancreas has to pump out a bunch of insulin to say, hey, let's fix this problem so the brain doesn't freak out. Because, you know, no one wants to get mom mad. So we got to clean up this mess. Mm-hmm. So you're not losing any body fat at that point. And it's actually probably then putting you back into a point where now your blood sugar drops too fast because you didn't actually eat anything. And then now you're wanting to, you know, now you're hungry. Now you're hangry. You're wanting to actually add that sugar. So yeah, I could see that being a big trigger for folks to know. And so measuring your blood glucose, measuring your ketones, measuring your pH will give you kind of the general scope of knowing that you're on track with this.
Yes, it absolutely will. And, you know, I'm a big fan of exactly what gets measured gets managed. And so periodically, you know, weighing and definitely measuring urine pH and ketones to start is essential to discover what's working for you and what's not working for you, and personalizing your nutritional and lifestyle plan.
Yeah. And you actually have on your site, I think you sell some strips that you can measure your pH and your ketones all at the same time. So
yes, I made them. I had them manufactured for me because I didn't like having two separate strips. And what's really unique about these, then I found out, because ketones and pH, that's an acid and a base, they were running into each other. So I had to put a blank strip in between, okay. A blank pad. So on one strip, you can measure both your urine ketones and your urine pH.
Okay, good, good. Now, I define wellness as being the healthiest, fittest, and happiest you can be. What are three strategies or tactics to get and stay well?
You know, we were just talking about test, don't guess. And I'm going to tell you that, especially now in times of increased stress, is really getting control of our mental and personal, you know, mental atmosphere by testing urine pH. I mean, it's just easy to do. It's so enlightening. So that's number one. And number two is that second part is gaining control of our mental atmosphere. Where we direct our thoughts is where we go physiologically. So shifting that to being the healthiest, most brilliant, sexiest selves we can be is key for resilience and managing cortisol and increasing oxytocin. So that's key. And the third part is regarding a strategy or tactic to get and stay well is, it's, you know, like so many, but, you know, I'm trying to debate between sleep and movement. And I would just say movement, flexibility on a regular basis, working out, dancing, exercising, getting up and moving together is so critically important. And especially now, as of the first couple weeks of quarantine, I was definitely not moving so much. And now I've made it a principle to get on my walking desk treadmill, to get outside when I can, and to really make sure that in my life and in my children's life, we are moving and moving together.
Cool. Well, Dr. Pekka-Pekka, thank you so much for being on the podcast. If someone wanted to learn more about you and your book and all the things that you're doing, where would you like for me to send them?
Ooh, I would love them to. So come to my dranna.com, dranna.com, dranna.com. That's my website. And there's lots of good information, plus the book bonuses and information. You can get Keto Green 16 anywhere books are sold. But one thing that I do encourage also is creating this healthy community. So join me on my Instagram page and in Facebook, where I have my Keto Green community, and it's just like-minded people working through this together.
Okay. You can go to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/433, and I'll be sure to have links there. So Dr. Kubecka, thank you for being a part of 40 Plus Fitness.
I'm honored. Thank you for having me.
Next time on the 40 Plus Fitness Podcast, we meet Garrett Muntz and discuss his book, Self-Care for Men, How to Look Good and Feel Great. Until then, have a happy and healthy day.